A Boundless Reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and good Thursday morning. Here we are on February the 13th, and tomorrow will be a day of hearts and candies, I suppose, and maybe some roses. So don't forget to get those things, gents. Maybe even cook dinner. It's the simple things, right? So got home just a little bit ago. I had to go to the DMV. You know, it's always like it's just a different experience, I guess, the DMV. I had to schedule the appointment for getting that real ID because I'll be going to the Southern Baptist Convention in June. So, you know, the whole thing now with boarding a plane is you have to have, or it's important for you to have that document or that identification. So anyway, prior to getting to the, you know, appointment this morning, we had made an envelope full of all the documents, you know, because you're like, it's almost like you're frantically searching for, you know, all the stuff that you got to have, you look on the website and it tells you basically, gives you instructions on what to take. And so, you know, I get there this morning and of course it's the first appointment. It's like at 7 a.m. And, you know, people are already there lining up and, you know, it's cold outside, but I just kind of waited until it was like maybe a minute or two before 7. And I finally, I just went ahead and, you know, got out and got to the door or to the area there where all these other people were. And so this lady comes out and she says, "Who has an appointment?" And there's like, you know, almost 20 people in line. Nobody says anything. I was just like, "I do." And so, you know, you're passing these people and of course they're looking at you like you shouldn't be, "Yo, you made an appointment." Anyway, you just always have, there's just always some mentality there with the experience that's going to occur. You don't really, those people at the DMV, I sometimes have classified them as, you know, they had lots of cracker juice in the morning. You don't joke around with them. You give them the answers and it's, you know, whatever. But I was pleasantly surprised today. The lady checked me in there and then she said, you know, to go to cubicle number 3. And so I get over there and then there's another assistant there that basically, you know, gets everything processed for you. And the conversation was actually refreshing, to be quite honest. I really enjoyed just engaging with this other lady. And, you know, she was providing a service through the state, of course. Sometimes, you know, we would put those people in some box, I suppose. Maybe shame on us for doing so. But, yeah, that was pleasantly surprised. Even that early in the morning. I mean, she was very polite and just we even laughed a little bit. And I know the people probably out there was like, "Yeah, that guy's laughing because he was first. Get out of here." So then actually got to go down and drop off some paperwork at one of my former employers. So yeah, just getting in. Fried up an egg sandwich for, I guess, a late breakfast because we had to leave so early this morning. But, you know, we were at, I'm rambling now. We were at Sam's Club the other day, and I've always liked pears, you know. I don't know. Maybe it's like the childhood thing. It's like when you, I don't know if you guys remember, like at lunchtime, you'd get the those green or light green, Pepto-Bismol green, maybe plates that had like the, you know, separation points. Everything was allocated to its own area. No food was touching, you know. And I always remember getting the pear. It was already peeled and everything. Yeah. It seemed back then when you were in school, things were just much, much easier. At the time, though, they seem so complex and very difficult, or probably made them that way, right? For us that were, or for you look back when you were a kid. And so, yeah, things that you reflect upon. But I don't know. I've always liked pears. And so we were out there and they had a bag of pears. And I was just like, you know, I'm going to get these. And sure enough, I think we've got two more left. So they've lasted. I guess they made it, right? A week's good for a bag of pears. I've just, Maybe you, if you've never had pears, you should try them, or if you have, however. But, so here we are just kind of gearing up for some things, and later today we'll have a elders meeting. We usually meet on Thursdays. Two other pastors there that I serve with, and you know, I think sometimes church members think that these meetings consist of like mafia meetings, you know, and what has really, this will be my third year serving as a volunteer elder. And what has really been, I guess, humbling is the time that we spend in prayer and discussion over our members. And so we, you know, talk through either current hospital concerns, you know, current things that they, sicknesses or job loss or, you know, stuff that they may be dealing with a child. Just a variety of things there. And it's good to see, not only as a volunteer elder, but as a member of a church, that the leadership is concerned about the spiritual welfare of those who attend. And so we almost spend probably a good chunk of that time in prayer and lifting these people up. So I'm encouraged by that. And that's been something, again, that I think I have referenced in the past, laboring together, praying for one another, the edification of saints, you know, showing this life that God breathed into us to share his joy and the passion there. So it's been very, it's been a blessing, I'll say that, to serve alongside and see where God has worked at our church and the continuing process in which he is molding and shaping us. And as I've said, and I would probably, I would probably even say that the others that I serve with, you know, are led to believe and fully trust that, you know, this is ultimately God's, it's his church. King Jesus is who we serve. So may he be glorified, and may his name be made great among our people. So, yeah. And then, of course, I think later this evening we've got a basketball game. But, yeah. And as I was riding back from Rock Hill, you know, had a little bit of time to meditate when I had to take that paperwork down today. Just to kind of break away from James, this passage was kind of in my thoughts as I was listening to the Bible on the app. And it comes out of Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. What really comes to my mind when I read this passage is the reference of what is going to happen, what is basically, it describes it as nature, or, you know, things that occur from rain, flood, winds. And the terminology it says is that these things slammed against the house. I think we would be foolish that if we went down a train of thought to maybe think there would never be any troubles or difficulties in our life. And just as Jesus clearly states that these things will come, there will be troubles. They might be wet, they may be dry. It may be something that just knocks you off your feet. But there is a way in which we look at this passage, and I feel that God orchestrates again these things so then that way we would understand the importance of what it means to be built upon his truths. So, I mean, just even a little bit ago when I was opening up my Bible, there is nothing else on this earth that gives more assurance than God's word. And as I hold that Bible and I read the words that are contained within, I would come away and understand that no matter what may come, no matter what will happen, God's word is true. And just as we described yesterday from the mindset of a minister, as Joby shared, of being faithful, is same application could be said of just, you'd say, well, I'm not a minister, I'm not a pastor, I'm not an evangelist, I'm not an elder, I'm not a deacon, but you are a believer. And if God has called you and he has saved you and you've repented of your sins and confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and now you are an ambassador of him, the responsibility and the call for us is to build our lives on those foundational truths that are set forth in God's word. And why is that? Because we have no control over our life. We have this misconception that there are some things that we actually do control. It's an illusion. But we don't know. We think we can get in our car and drive down the road and we will get to the destination. But ultimately, there is no guarantee in what will happen next. And so therefore, we come to some place to where we would say there is a limitation on our part, which we are. We're very limited and we're very needy. And so therefore, we are humbled by that fact because of the limitation that consumes us. And so therefore, that drives us to a point to say, well, okay, where do I turn? Understanding that I am limited and that I do not have full control, that I sometimes can be deceived, that I may think that I have. So where is it that I go? And what is it that I seek after? And ultimately, Jesus is implying that you build your house upon these principles and these truths, because when those things do come, which they will come, those hardships will come, that you can withstand them. Because if we give into some other thought process to where it leads us down a path to consider that we are the ones who control our destiny, and we start to give into the temptation of finding some fulfillment within this world instead of finding that true satisfaction in God's word, then when those storms come, we will be swept away. That's the cold, hard truth. The challenge for our churches and for our people that attend is not so much their desire to be a part of this establishment or this congregation. The challenge is for them to understand what is it that they're building their life upon. If they're building their life upon anything else, then everything crumbles besides Christ. You know, I've often listened to people, and especially I would say this even of some that are of the older saints, and they reflect upon the years of either their parents or their grandparents or somebody that had much impact in their life. And before I go too far with this, I'm not saying it's a bad thing to have those influences that were godly people that have helped shaped and form and given you some wisdom. I'm not saying that's bad to respect and honor those people. But if that becomes the driving point in which you do what you do is based upon those experiences that you had with those individuals and the ones that you love, and that's your adoration and how you function within the means of what this comes together as far as either the church or even your life, then yeah, when those things come, it's going to be devastating. Because life is hard. The only thing that will keep us, and the only thing that will help us when that door slams, and when it slams hard, is Christ. I think sometimes we have this fallacy, or this notion or tendency, whatever you want to equate this with. The Christian faith is not based upon other ones or other people's faith. It's not based upon what we've established between those relationships of people that, again, have impacted us in a special way. It's built upon Christ and Christ alone and His truths that prevail in His word. Because I'll say this, that even in ministry, even in church, even in relationships and families and all those things, there is a bombardment. There's like arrows that can come, and at different seasons, right? They can come and they can hit you. So will you stand and be grounded on something that's temporal? Or will you stand and be grounded on something that's solid and true? I think that as we continue to age and progress in our faith, we see the necessity for being grounded in Christ and the things in which we once valued and thought were so important, just as a child, as I referenced earlier, what we thought was important is no longer. Notice again what is stated here in this passage. In verse 25, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. There is something that is solid about Christ. You've heard me say it before, all other things in this world will pass away. Build your life on Christ. Your passion, your dreams, your desires. May that be the theme and anthem of your life, because ultimately that's all that really matters. A boundless reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and I look forward to talking with you again soon.